Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Contain COVID-19 and to Open Texas by James Huff Fiennes, chairman of the Governor's Strike Force to Open Texas. Over the past several months, Texans have faced a challenge the likes of which we have never seen, an invisible enemy that threatens both life and livelihood. But through these trying times, Texans have responded with resolve. And most importantly, they have largely followed the best practices to protect their health and the health of those around them. As a result of this unified effort, Governor Abbott this week announced the first steps to reopen the state of Texas. These steps are based on recommendations from leading medical experts, as well as the members of the Governor's Strike Force to Open Texas, of which I am chairman. Our team is actively working for the people of Texas to gradually reopen the state while at the same time containing COVID-19. The governor has made it clear we cannot underestimate the threat posed by this virus. We know that COVID-19 can be spread by infected persons who appear to have few or no symptoms. Immediately returning to business as usual is simply not an option. It would risk setting our state back while putting more lives in jeopardy. Instead, we must gradually open Texas in a way that both restores people's livelihoods while prioritizing the health and safety of Texans. That requires all Texans doing their part. Just as Texans united to slow the spread of the virus by staying home and practicing proper social distancing and hygiene guidelines, we need all Texans to work together to reopen Texas. To guide this effort and address the challenges we face, the governor has laid out a series of actions that will serve as the foundation for reopening the economy. The first is special guidance for higher-risk Texans, such as those who are 65 and older, or those with underlying medical conditions. We urge these vulnerable Texans to continue following strong social distancing guidelines and to stay at home. A second component is the ramping up of testing in Texas, along with a robust statewide contact tracing program. This will help Texans identify whether they have come in contact with someone who has COVID-19, so they can be tested and self-isolate if necessary. Such an effort will protect both liberty and privacy. With these two central pieces in place, the governor also announced standard health protocols for businesses that will allow for a limited reopening of certain establishments and activities, including restaurants, retailers, movie theaters, museums and libraries, certain outdoor sports, and single-person offices. These health protocols include actions that businesses, their employees and customers, and all Texans must take to safely return to work and daily activities. For businesses, that means enforcing social distancing guidelines, cleaning and disinfecting their places of business, screening employees, and requiring them to wash or sanitize their hands. For individual Texans, that means self-screening for temperature or other symptoms before entering an establishment, washing or sanitizing their hands, and wearing masks or face coverings. Texans are ready to get back to work. They are ready to return to some level of normalcy. But we can only do this if every Texan plays their part. Whether you're an employer, an employee, or a customer, we all bear the responsibility to protect our health and the health of those around us. By uniting around these practices and taking the necessary precautions, we will open our state back up for business and get Texans back to work. We will contain the spread of COVID-19, and we will make it through this together. OC Board to eye reappointment of top administration tax abatements. OA News at OAOA.com. Reappointment of top administration at Odessa College will be the subject of a closed session during a virtual meeting of the Board of Trustees set for 6:30 p.m. today. Tax abatements for Oberon Solar Projects and a report on the Tax Increment Finance Registry are also on the agenda. The meeting will be live-streamed through the college website. The meeting is being conducted virtually due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Trustees will consider termination of Oberon Solar 1B college tax abatement and consider approving tax abatement requests from Oberon Solar 2, Oberon Solar 2, and Oberon Solar 4. Board Vice President Gary Johnson said the company building the farm, 174 Power Global, plans to construct the project, located a little bit west of Pinwell and south of Interstate 20, in three phases. Johnson said the board wanted to try and give the company an incentive to do the entire project at one time, so they offered a 10-year abatement of 100% for the first 5 years and 50% for the next 5 years. The board also will review a tax increment finance registry annual report, hear an education report on the college's response to COVID-19. TIRZ stands for Tax Increment Reinvestment Zone and is meant to attract investment to an area. In a TIRZ, property tax revenues are frozen at a base level, and as property values rise as the area is developed, revenues collected above that level can be used for further projects in that same designated zone. The base year is 2020, Johnson said. He said the hospital district and college are part of the TIRZ. Johnson said the board will receive a report on how much property is in the area, how much is non-exempt property, and how much money has been raised. But that money hasn't been raised yet because the base year hasn't been completed. Those under consideration are President Gregory Williams, Vice President for Instruction Tremaine Anderson, Vice President for Student Services and Enrollment Management Kim McKay, Chief of Staff Robert Rivas, Vice President for Instructional Effectiveness Don Wood, and Vice President for Administrative Services, Ken Zartner. The reappointment of the college attorney also is on the agenda. Trustees will review an annual report on information collection under the Odessa College Police Department's policy on racial profiling. The president's report will include OC receiving United Way awards, the Drive to Success Mustang giveaway being postponed, the Fab Lab contribution during the COVID-19 emergency, and our work continues. Man dies in collision with 18-wheeler. OA News at OAOA.com. A 22-year-old man died after he was involved in a collision with an 18-wheeler in South Odessa. The reported fatal collision happened at 1:59 a.m. Sunday, near the intersection of Interstate Highway 20 and Grant Avenue, an Odessa Police Department press release detailed. Investigation reportedly showed an 18-wheeler was driven by 47-year-old Daniel Farias of El Paso, was traveling east in the 100 block of West Interstate Highway 20. Alexander Coloni, 22, of Odessa, was driving west in the 100 block of West Interstate Highway 20 in a Dodge Ram. Coloni was driving on the wrong side of the road with no lights on and collided with the 18-wheeler, the press release stated. Coloni was pronounced dead on scene and next of kin were notified. There were reportedly no other injuries. An investigation showed the Dodge Ram had been reported stolen out of Ector County. The investigation continues. Man charged with stabbing son with knife. OA News at OAOA.com. A 60-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly stabbed his son in the shoulder and chest. Donnie Ray Morgan was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony. The reported assault happened around 10:20 p.m. Thursday in the 500 block of Lindy Avenue, an Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed. Cedric Vester reportedly told officers that he had been stabbed with a knife in the upper left shoulder and left side of his chest by his father, Morgan. Officers saw cuts consistent with Vester's statements. Morgan wasn't at the scene when police initially arrived, as his description was given as a slender man wearing a purple shirt and jeans, the affidavit stated. Officers were reportedly dispatched to the 500 block of Lindy Avenue again at 10:53 p.m. for a disturbance. Witnesses stated that Morgan had returned to the residence and attempted to enter the home, but he had left the scene. Witnesses stated that it was likely that Morgan was still in the area. Officers remained in the area, and at 11:15 p.m., they saw a man wearing a purple shirt and jeans walking east on Highland Street toward the intersection of Wabash Avenue and Highland Street, the affidavit stated. Officers made contact with the man, and he was identified as Morgan. Morgan was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He had one bond totaling $25,000 and was still in custody as of Monday morning, jail records show. Election items on the commissioner's agenda. OA News at OAOA.com. Items related to the Precinct 1 Ector County Commissioners, U.S. Senate and Railroad Commission races are on the Ector County Commissioners Court agenda for today. The meeting is scheduled for 10 a.m. in the Commissioners Courtroom, Room 120 of the Ector County Administration Building Annex, 1010 East 8th Street. The Commissioners' runoff between incumbent Eddie Shelton and former Odessa City Councilman Mike Gardner is now July 14th. It was originally scheduled for May 26th, according to the elections office. The U.S. Senate runoff is between Royce West, a state senator from Dallas, and M.J. Hagar, an Air Force veteran, businesswoman, and teacher who lives in Round Rock. Also in a Democratic runoff for Railroad Commission are Krista Castaneda of Dallas and Roberto Beto Alonso, also from Dallas. Commissioners will also consider action to approve the notice of election, early voting schedule, and election day locations for the July 14th joint primary runoff election, and to approve temporary early voting sites from MCH Primary Care to Murray Fly Elementary, Family Health Center to Salinas Community Building, and for election day vote centers from MCH Primary Care to Kellis Turner Community Building, the agenda said. There also is an item to discuss issues related to COVID-19. Precinct 1 Commissioner Eddie Shelton said a screening scheduling phone number has been set up to see if people need to be tested for the virus. He said the phone line was supposed to be set up Monday, and the first vehicles driving through for drive-through testing on Wednesday at the Ector County Coliseum. Some of the other items on the agenda are to consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding transfer of title on a 2017 Chevrolet Tahoe 4x2 in settlement of auto claim. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on approving additional match for a previously approved capital improvement project at the airport. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on approving the 2020 CTIF TxDOT, Texas Department of Transportation, grant application, accepting the latest road project and project list and related documents, and authorize the county judge and commissioners to sign. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve an application for Texas State Library accreditation and authorize the county judge to sign. Consider, discuss, and approve a budget amendment to the sales tax district, sheriff, contract services from unreserved fund balance for $2,160 and authorize the county judge to sign. Consider and approve the accounts payable fund requirements report for April 28th to review county financial statements and reports. And an executive session. IDEA Permian Basin to host virtual job fair. OA News at OAOA.com. IDEA Public Schools, Permian Basin, will host a virtual job fair from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday to offer candidates a chance to meet one-on-one with IDEA leaders in a Q&A session with a goal of filling positions, including teacher, co-teacher, social worker or social counselor, speech-language pathologist, licensed specialist in school psychology, and teaching resident. IDEA Public Schools Permian Basin will open in August 2020 and serve students in Midland and at its first local campus, IDEA Travis Academy. Available positions can be found at bit.ly/IDEAPBJOBS. IDEA Permian Basin offers unique benefits for candidates willing to relocate to the region. At the virtual event, candidates will have the opportunity to meet one-on-one with IDEA leaders in a question-and-answer session. Those interested can RSVP at bit.ly/IDEAPBCareerFair. IDEA Permian Basin Virtual Job Fair will be held on Zoom. The meeting link is https://zoom.us/j/93504816673. That's https://zoom.us/j/93504816673. The meeting password is 1YLHQS. For more information, contact Francesa Johnson at francesa.johnson@ideapublicschools.org or 432-230-8666. Abbott, time to reopen, slowly. Editor's note, State Representative Brooks Landgraf is offering these updates on Governor Greg Abbott's orders on reopening the Texas economy. By State Representative Brooks Landgraf. Governor Greg Abbott announced several developments Monday about the Texas response to COVID-19, including his plans to begin lifting certain restrictions previously imposed by executive order. However, some of the big changes many of us were expecting weren't announced. The bottom line is that the governor plans to safely reopen Texas in three phases, with his decisions driven by doctors and data. Here is the quick breakdown, which I'll continue to update. 1. The stay-home order currently in effect will expire on Thursday. A less restrictive order will take effect on Friday. 2. On Friday, Phase 1 takes effect, allowing most businesses, including retail stores, restaurants, malls, movie theaters, etc., to reopen with certain safety standards in place and with occupancy limited to 25%. 3. Licensed healthcare professionals will also be allowed to return to work during Phase 1, but hospitals must reserve 15% of its capacity for COVID-19 patients. 4. Governor Abbott indicated that the physicians advising him recommended against opening hair salons, barbershops, bars, and gyms during Phase 1, but that they are aiming to open those businesses in mid-May. 5. During Phase 1, museums and libraries are permitted to open with certain safety precautions, and outdoor sports and activities are allowed in groups of 4 or fewer. 6. There is no statewide requirement for individuals to wear masks in public, though it is recommended. 7. Phase 2 is scheduled to go into effect on May 18th. This phase would allow more types of businesses to open and increase occupancy levels to 50%. 8. Phase 3 would not be implemented until June at the earliest. This last phase would presumably allow businesses to return to normal, possibly with continued safety standards in place. 9. Governor Abbott articulated that his 4 goals for the state are for Texans to continue practicing safe distancing, for decisions to be based on data, for the most vulnerable Texans to be protected, and for the Texas economy to be reopened as quickly as possible. 10. The governor also had good news about the state's battle against COVID-19 itself. Safety measures taken by Texans have allowed the spread to slow, and Texas simply has not seen the fatalities that other states have endured. Additionally, mobile testing sites and PPE distribution centers continued to be set up across the state. The governor also reported that hospital capacity continues to keep Texas in a very strong position to be able to treat infected patients. More details can be found at gov.texas.gov/open Texas. Warning, server is overloaded. I know this is very frustrating for so many of you. Truthfully, it's very frustrating for me as well, but I will continue to fight through all of it, to provide you with the most up-to-date information I have. You deserve no less from me. In the meantime, stay strong and know that I am pulling for you and your family. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Brooks Landgraf. Landgraf serves House District 81, which encompasses Andrews, Ector, Ward, and Winkler counties. Odessa Fire. A City of Odessa firefighter rookie mans the fire hose while another firefighter points out areas that need to be sprayed with water Monday afternoon in North Odessa. A pull behind trailer caught fire Monday afternoon off of 48th Street. No one was injured in the fire. A City of Odessa firefighter rookie sprays water onto a propane tank to help keep it cool to prevent it from catching fire Monday afternoon after the pull behind trailer caught fire in North Odessa. Firefighters with Odessa Fire Rescue pull out the walls of the small pull behind trailer in order to access the flames Monday afternoon. No one was injured in the fire that burned down the small trailer in North Odessa. Closing prices. Posted $9. Futures $12.78. Natural gas $1.819. Benchmark U.S. fell $4.16 to $12.78 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. Big Bend COVID-19 Pandemic Relief Fund schedules live stream fundraiser. OA News at OAOA.com. Terlingua. The Big Bend COVID-19 Pandemic Relief Fund was set up to assist Brewster County residents deal with hardships caused by the pandemic, a Big Bend Citizens Alliance press release detailed. Volunteers from Alpine and Terlingua started the fund through Big Bend Citizens Alliance, a Terlingua-based nonprofit organization. The first round of applications has been processed and awards are going out. First round issued funds to 54 qualified individuals and three local nonprofits. The Salvation Army Alpine Unit made an offer to pay electric, water, and gas bills for the applicants up to $150 each. The second round of applications is being accepted until May 15th. The fund is taking online applications for assistance at bigbendaid.org. The Marathon Post Office, Terlingua Crisis Center, West Tex Community Credit Union, and Alpine Community Credit Union are serving as pickup and drop-off locations for printed applications. On Saturday and Sunday, the Big Bend Citizens Alliance and the City of Alpine will present the One-on-One-on-One live stream music festival, a free two-day fundraiser. The festival highlights both the isolation and the online intimacy that we are all experiencing as artists share their music with listeners around the region, the state, or even the world. More information can be found at https://bigbendaid.org/one-on-one-live-stream-music-festival/. To donate online, visit bigbendaid.org. Checks made payable to Big Bend Citizens Alliance with Pandemic Relief Fund in the memo field can be mailed to P.O. Box 202, Terlingua, Texas 79852, or deposited at West Texas National Bank in Alpine and Terlingua. New Ways to Teach. Mojo Band Director Goes Virtual by Michael Bauer. MBAUER at OAOA.com. Todd Berridge is usually standing in front of his musicians, conducting, and getting ready for competition. Now the Permian High School Symphony Orchestra director is giving instructions from his computer. For some instructors, making the transition from teaching in front of students to a virtual setting has been slightly more challenging than for others. Berridge falls on the challenging side. "It's been really difficult to tell you the truth," Berridge said. "We live basically to see our kids every day. Because our ensembles, we can't meet in the virtual world. You've probably seen the stuff online where they try to put things together, and you can't do that. We've been having to come up with lesson plans on the fly and have kids turn in their stuff online and grade it. It's been difficult. Teaching students and giving feedback for regular courses online is already challenging enough, but band and other music courses are a different matter. For orchestra, we've been doing a myriad of things," Berridge said. "We're trying to honor our seniors, so the seniors are sending in their information on what they're doing and a couple of photos, and we put that online on our social media platforms. They've been doing assignments on Google Classroom, which Berridge has described as a lifesaver. We've had some etudes that we've been having the kids learn for auditions coming up," Berridge said. "We'll have certain benchmarks that they have to perform, and they turn them in once a week. They have practice logs that they have to keep. The state requires 30 minutes a day of fine arts, and they turn those in for grades. We have our officers come up with theme days or spirit days, just to keep the flow of them being teenagers so they can stay together." Berridge said that they've also started a report with using the band app. "It's like our own social media page," Berridge said. "We are seeing a lot of kids participate. That's basically what we do. Grade stuff that they submit, and I try to keep them happy by posting several different things online. I do miss being in front of them, though. Berridge has been using Google Meet and with Zoom for meetings. We can send back information through Google Classroom, where we tell them what to work on, Berridge said. We use Google Meetup, and we're using Zoom for our officers, and if the kids request it, we can use lessons through Google. We can't play with them, but we can at least show them what's going on as far as the etudes, because the Allstate etudes come out also, so they can work on those as well, and those auditions are in October. Those are the different platforms that we're using. The spread of COVID-19 and the cancellation of UIL spring activities have meant that bands, choirs, and orchestras statewide have been unable to perform at competitions. Permian's orchestra, however, was one of the fortunate groups that got to perform at the UIL concert and sight reading evaluation at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center in Midland on March 3rd and 4th, right before Ector County Schools got out for spring break. We had our spring competition a day before school was let out for spring break, Berridge said. So our kids got their chance to do their UIL stuff, but the band and choir did not. None of the bands, none of the choirs, half of the orchestras in the state didn't get to compete. We were lucky. We were fortunate to compete, and the kids performed well, but we were one of the few groups in the state to do it. Permian Symphony didn't disappoint, coming away with straight one ratings. The school took four orchestras to the competition. Each group contained 40 to 70 members in it. Berridge was proud of their accomplishments. The kids worked extremely hard, Berridge said. They worked very hard. We played some very difficult music this year. We stretched the kids mentally and physically with our repertoire, and we had great senior leadership, and they stretched themselves. They challenged the group. It was a slight turnaround after struggling at the pre-UIL event the week prior. The kids were awful and they knew it, Berridge said. They told me that they were going to do extra practice, and they did, and the recordings speak for themselves. The repertoire that they did is some of the stuff that you hear major orchestras perform, so I'm very proud of them. While there have been plenty of challenges teaching online, Berridge said that for him, teaching virtually has also provided its share of benefits. If anything, it's acclimated me to more electronic things, Berridge said. Like, we can do more chair tests online. We don't have to have the kids come in before or after school. We can hold booster club meetings or do regional-type meetings with directors from areas like Abilene or Wichita Falls online that we didn't know existed. It's helping us to be more tech-savvy. It's made a lot of things easier. I can come home and grade chair tests online instead of staying late at night listening to recordings. We've got the bandwidth and the technology resources, and we've been forced to use it. But this has made it easier to where we can connect with more kids. The kids may not listen in the class with their ears, but if you put it online, they'll listen. They really do. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. Opinion. National View. Essential workers are being told you're on your own. The Point, workplace safety is now a matter of public health. Shelter-in-place orders are an effective means to slowing the spread of the coronavirus, yet millions of Americans have no choice but to leave home to go to work every day. Deemed essential for their jobs in manufacturing, grocery stores, pharmacies, warehouses, retailing, and restaurants, they face daily risks by working alongside colleagues and customers who may be carriers of the coronavirus. At grocery stores and sprawling warehouses, workers say not enough is being done to protect them from exposure. Walmart employees, for instance, say they lack sufficient sanitizing supplies and protective gear and are forced to congregate in spaces that put them well within a six-foot radius of co-workers. At meat processing plants, where production lines often require working shoulder to shoulder, the risks are particularly acute. And mass transit workers say they haven't been provided masks or personal cleaning supplies. When their shifts end, they go home to their families, putting more people at risk. Weeks into the pandemic, it's apparent that not nearly enough is being done to protect these frontline workers, even as their continued labor ensures that a semblance of normality endures for their fellow Americans. The Department of Labor's primary worker safety enforcement arm, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, has taken a largely hands-off approach to the pandemic. Only recently did OSHA put a priority on investigating healthcare facilities for complaints about coronavirus safety procedures, while effectively giving a free pass to some of the nation's largest employers. Without a clear set of rules to follow, employers are making them up as they go. As long as OSHA doesn't take a position, these employers have a pass to say workers got sick elsewhere and it's not their responsibility, said Mark Perrone, international president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, which represents some 1.3 million laborers. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued sensible guidelines on the federal level that can protect workers, such as standards for social distancing, sanitizing stations, and using masks in the workplace. But OSHA hasn't made the guidelines mandatory for workplaces. The CDC itself doesn't enforce them, nor has OSHA adopted other new rules that could help ensure worker safety during the pandemic. It should do so now. Requiring businesses to follow the CDC's guidelines would allow OSHA to enforce them with inspections and fines. Instead, a patchwork of rules, led primarily by governors in New York, Washington State, and California, serve as an unsatisfactory substitute by mandating masks in all public settings and the use of other protective measures. But these haven't been aimed specifically at workplaces, many of which need more guidance. OSHA said its prior rules for worker safety applied during the pandemic, though the agency did give agents leeway to investigate coronavirus claims so long as they were confined to healthcare facilities and met certain other criteria. In a statement to the New York Times, OSHA said that employers are and will continue to be responsible for providing a safe and healthy workplace, and that it can respond to formal complaints where a worker is killed or seriously injured on the job, known as the General Duty Clause. The agency's COVID-19 guidance for employers, however, acknowledges up front it is not a standard or regulation, and it creates no new legal obligations. In the meantime, OSHA offices are fielding thousands of coronavirus complaints, but don't have the wherewithal to investigate them. In Oregon alone, by early this month, the local OSHA office had received 2,747 complaints about workplace conditions, but had issued zero citations, the top local administrator told the Portland Tribune. An OSHA official in Illinois wrote in an email to a local union that, though she had been receiving daily complaints for weeks, these recommended measures are not enforceable by OSHA, since they are guidance and not OSHA law. OSHA also told a lawyer representing an Illinois Walmart worker who died after contracting the coronavirus that OSHA does not have any jurisdiction on enforcing anything related to COVID-19 at this time, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. OSHA has precedent on its side for tougher rules. During the H1N1 flu outbreak, It made CDC rules enforceable, requiring the use of face masks and other measures to slow transmission. It has failed to act so far this time, however. Companies may say new rules would be onerous and expensive, but the cost of prolonging the coronavirus's spread can be far more costly. Smithfield Foods was forced to indefinitely close its Sioux Falls, South Dakota plant, responsible for roughly 5% of the country's pork production, after it failed to impose safety measures, even as hundreds of its workers contracted the virus. The retailer Gap Incorporated, by contrast, told customers this month to expect slower delivery times after voluntarily following CDC guidelines. OSHA has taken steps to protect healthcare workers by prioritizing inspections of hospitals and other high-risk facilities. But during the pandemic, warehouses and slaughterhouses, city buses and grocery stores have become high-risk facilities too. If the spread of the disease is to slow, millions of workers deserve far better protection. The New York Times. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. Obituary. Laura Faye Bivin, Odessa. Laura Faye Bivin, age 75, passed away Friday, April 24th, 2020, at her home, surrounded by family and friends. She was born on Monday, April 16th, 1945, in Jacksonville, Texas, to Edna Lorene Cooper Rhines. Laura married her sweetheart, Robert Skip Bivin, on August 17th, 1963, in Abilene, Texas. They have enjoyed many adventures with family and friends and gone on many camping trips in their RV during the 56 years of their marriage. Laura and Skip moved to Odessa in 1977, where she worked many years in the floral business before retiring from Arlene's Flowers in 2008. She is preceded in death by her mom, Edna Rhines, dad, Jimmy Rhines, sister Edna Willoughby, Don, nephew Jeff Willoughby, Donna, and aunt Lucille Hansel, Raymond. Those left to cherish her love and memory are her loving husband, Robert Bivin, son Scott Bivin and wife Kim Bivin, granddaughter Ashley Bivin Gilbreth and husband Corky, grandson Austin Bivin, great-grandson Schuyler Gilbreth, cousins Francis Carter, Chuck, Brenda Ingram, Kathy Sandell, Ricky, and nephew Jack Willoughby, Stacy. To her best friend Jeanette Keaton, a special thanks for always being with her to laugh, cry, and listen, and for being with Laura's family during this difficult time. Thank you to all the ladies with Home Hospice West Texas and her nurses, Lisa, Tyler, and Debbie, for all your care for Laura. Visitation will begin Monday at noon. Family will be present to greet visitors Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Funeral services to celebrate her life will be at Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa on Wednesday, April 29th, 2020, at 9 a.m. Burial will follow at the Texas State Veterans Cemetery in Abilene, Texas, at 2 p.m. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West, and condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. In lieu of flowers, please make a donation in her honor to Home Hospice of West Texas, care of Robin Floyd. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. Death notices. Herbert Anderson, H.A. Dauber, Dean. Odessa. Herbert Anderson, H.A. Dauber, Dean, 91, of Midland, died Saturday, April 25th, 2020, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Brenda Cooper Johnson, Odessa. Brenda Cooper Johnson, 53, died Tuesday, April 21st, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Moise Kirillovich Kudsev, Gardendale. Moise Kirillovich Kudsev, spelled Moisey Kirillovich Kutsev, 46, of Gardendale, died Monday, April 20th, 2020, in Gardendale. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Catherine Suzanne McPherson, Odessa. Catherine Suzanne McPherson, 58, of Odessa, died Thursday, April 23rd, 2020, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Travis Andrew Schreiber, Midland. Travis Andrew Schreiber, 32, of Alpine, died Friday, April 24th, 2020, in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Christy Dawn Galindo, Odessa. Christy Dawn Galindo, 37, died Thursday, April 23rd, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Communion cups and germs. Dear Dr. Roach, several different religions use a single cup during communion that is shared by the members of the congregation. The cup is just lightly wiped off between each person's communion. Isn't this an almost certain way to spread germs, especially during the cold and flu season? I'm surprised that this practice is still used. S.J. Answer. The available data suggests that the risk of acquiring infection from a shared communion cup is very low. Wiping a silver chalice with a linen cloth reduced the bacterial count on the cup between each person by 90%. Viral infections are more likely to be spread via respiratory droplets from sitting next to someone than by sharing a communion dish. Current restrictions put in place specifically to slow the spread of coronavirus have effectively suspended church services in most countries. Many are live streaming their masses, and the Catholic Church, for one, has encouraged spiritual communion until a return to safe in-person service is possible. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for April 28th, 2020, etc. Wife laughs off man's pleas to end marriage. Dear Abby, I have a problem I can't fix. I have been married for 54 years. For the last 20, we have slept in different bedrooms. I get no affection from my wife, and everything has to be her way. We no longer have anything in common except our children and grandchildren who, for the most part, come to me only when they need something. Over the years, we have drifted apart, and there is no longer anything we enjoy doing together. I have told her many times that for my mental health, we should part ways. She laughs and shrugs it off. Basically, to her, I am a paycheck. She thinks we don't have a problem. Her parents lived pretty much the same way. I need someone who will sit with me when we go out to dinner, hold hands in public, have a couple of similar interests, share the same bed, etc. I have met a woman online who seems to care and who wants to be with me. I haven't followed through, but every time I'm verbally abused, it's pushing me more and more toward her. Help. Unhappy in Pennsylvania. Dear Unhappy, tell your wife you are making an appointment with a licensed marriage and family therapist to discuss your marital situation. It may be the wake-up call she needs to get her to quit laughing and pay attention to the fact that you are seriously unhappy. Ask her to go with you, but if she refuses, follow through and go without her. It may help you emotionally as you disengage from this marriage. If you do end the marriage, recognize there will have to be a fair distribution of any assets that accumulated, and be prepared to discuss your options with more than one lawyer. A word of caution, however, do not immediately rush into a romantic relationship with someone you know only through the internet. It is crucial that you take the necessary time to detoxify and regain your balance after you exit this marriage. Dear Abby, my mom passed away a year and a few months ago. My parents were married for 38 years. Dad started a whirlwind romance with a lady about 9 months after Mom's death. Their relationship lasted 3 months, and they were supposed to get married. She blindsided him by breaking the engagement a month before the wedding. The breakup was because she still has feelings for an ex-husband and had nothing to do with my dad. He keeps talking to her as a friend, but he is miserable because he's in love with her. Ever since the breakup, she gets nasty and criticizes him about small things. She is not even a good friend. I want my father to be happy and find someone who will love him, but he continues to call and text this woman, even though it makes him sink deeper into depression every day. He keeps thinking she'll take him back, but I don't see it happening. How can I convince Daddy to cut off all contact with her? What's best for Dad in Georgia? Dear What's Best, I'm not sure you are the person to do that. It might be better to enlist the aid of a male relative or close friend, someone who knows what has been going on. Your father might be more receptive to that message if he hears it from a contemporary. If not, he may have to learn his lesson the hard way. Dear readers, for those of you having trouble coping with stress and anxiety during this challenging time, Jack Drescher, M.D., respected psychiatrist, psychoanalyst, and member of the American Psychoanalytic Association, contacted me, offering a resource for emotional health matters related to the coronavirus crisis. For more information, go to psychologytoday.com/US/blog/psychoanalysis-0. Love, Abby. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger's Stars. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Taurus and a moon in Cancer. Happy birthday for Tuesday, April 28, 2020. You are determined to make this year a success and to help others through this pandemic. You do both. Unusually, you get inspiration from spiritual leaders. Purchase only what you can honestly afford, and all will be well. If single, your steadfastness will win you a relationship if you want one. If attached, your dependability gives your partner peace of mind. You are both as happy as clams. Libra needs more romantic gestures. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Family life and your home assume a subtle glamour today. You will be fascinated by secrets about your heritage and will discover new qualities in loved ones. A relative who has been out of touch might suddenly reappear. Tonight, dinner with family. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Travel plans become important but are subject to change. Do background research if making an unusual or unfamiliar journey. You can learn a great deal at this time. Old concepts are changing. Memories of a grandparent or childhood companion are vivid and meaningful. Tonight, relax. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 5 stars. You might enjoy earning income today. Business and pleasure combine harmoniously. Plan a party online, on the job, or surprise a coworker with a small gift. Happiness you generate in others will be returned to you threefold. Tonight, feeling proud. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. A different job, relationship, or home might be in the stars soon. Do not resist the new order coming into your life. The long-term picture will be brighter than it might seem at first glance. More happiness is coming, guaranteed. Tonight, celebrate yourself. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Your nature has been challenged by scandals and inconsistencies in the professional world in past years. That trend is being replaced with new excitement, even glamour, in your social life. You encounter people who have a hint of the legendary in their lives. Tonight, ooh la la. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Your social circle widens today. Effort expended in relationships will be met with a friendly response. A new friend offers valuable suggestions and ideas. A new opportunity for a child makes you happy. You will feel more optimistic. Tonight, network with others online. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 2 stars. Today finds you awash with ambitions and longings. Enjoy what you have. Do not let yourself be tormented by thoughts of greener pastures. Make a list of your many accomplishments and love yourself for each one of them. Tonight, a soothing hot bath. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Opportunities arise that might open doors to a better life. Pursue them. Identifying real values can be something of a challenge. Be receptive to the inevitable change in the air, and all will be well. Tonight, play the night away. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Childhood memories, as well as past life issues, can affect the present. Honor the past and learn from it, but do not let it haunt you. A progressive, energetic aspect begins today as you shed the old and bring in the new. Tonight, celebrate. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. You might be blessed with a new love connection or strengthening of an existing bond today. Be careful of involvement in love triangles or associations with those who have addicted tendencies. An elderly relative needs help. Tonight, date night. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Temperature extremes, especially the cold, affect you profoundly. Massage the lower legs, and protective boots or stockings are a must. Your ankle area is especially vulnerable. A new program of care and fitness might emerge. Tonight, at home. Make it easy. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. A feeling of lightness and hope is generated. Children will show talent and maturity. A new love or exciting new project is rich with promise. Be playful in its initial stages, as this will bring you more ideas. Tonight, write out what you want. Born today, businessman Oscar Schindler, 1908, Arthur Harper Lee, 1926, comedian Jay Leno, 1950.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.